Thank you. Let's all stand together, turn to 243, Victory in Jesus.
Spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." And dear Heavenly Father, I pray you bless us this morning, dear God, in these few minutes. And Lord, just that we have here today, Lord, to honor your Son, Jesus. And Lord, to mention what we have to look forward to. In your name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. In verse 14 of the same chapter, the Bible says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So Jesus visits his, these are his disciples, and that word upbraid, that's not a good thing. Amen. He got after them. And the Bible says he upbraided them with their unbelief. And his disciples that walked with him for the last 3.5 years, that listened to him preach and listened to him teach, they're all sitting in a room pouting. And they're all having a defeat after defeat party. I mean, it's all over. I mean, everything they've given their life to the last 3.5 years, it's all over. The person, the one they trusted, Jesus, died, was buried, and that's the end of it. And now there's people coming to him saying, well, he rose, and they don't believe it until he shows up personally to testify to them. And one of them, named Thomas, wasn't there, and they told him, he said, I won't believe it until I put my fingers in the wounds in his hands until I see it. He said, I won't believe it. And then later on, the Lord showed up, and that's where we get the term doubting Thomas from. He doubted until he saw it personally. But the Lord said about them, he said, blessed are you that see and believe. He said, but even more are those that have never seen, yet they believe. Well, that's us this morning. We're the ones that have never seen the risen Savior, but we believe. Hey, just like Brother Anderson, and I'm not too cheap to use a good illustration. Just out on the front porch out there, he was talking about something the Lord done in his life, and he told about the illustration. He had heard someone before about a little boy that was out on a cloudy day flying his kite, and he just kept letting it go higher and higher and higher. And he had the string up there, and people came by and said to him, son, how do you know it's still there? I said, how do you know it's not stuck in a tree? Or how do you know something that didn't happen to it? And he said, oh, I know it's there. They said, well, how do you know? He said, I know. Had a big smile on his face. He said, I know it. He just having the time of his life, flying that kite, couldn't see it. They said, I don't believe it's there. He said, I know it's there. He said, every once in a while, he said, I feel the tug. He said, it reminds me that it's there. Amen. And listen, hey, those of us that are saved this morning, there's a tug. There's something real about the fact that our Savior rose. Yeah, we believe he came out of the grave, but we know that we serve a risen Savior. He's alive. He'll live forevermore. Amen. And every once in a while, we feel that little tug. If you're saved, you say, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I'd like to know. If you're saved, you'll know. Because every once in a while, you'll feel that little tug. Amen. And if you're not saved, I highly encourage you to get saved, because there's no sweeter feeling than to feel that tug from heaven. Hey, he'll tug on your heart before you're saved.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we refuse to respond to that. And you can put that off till you no longer feel that tug. And that's a sad thought. No, I'm not going to get into that this morning. But if you feel that tug, you respond to the Lord and say, I believe.
Right.
I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that he was buried. And I believe that he rose again. And I believe that if I put my faith and trust in him, someday I'll see him. Amen. Yes. And I'll be with him for eternity. Now listen, the disciples didn't believe. And he came in and he said to them, verse 15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That word gospel means good news. Amen. Now it is good news. Listen, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. The key there is believe. Amen.
Right.
The key there is to believe. Until you believe, anything else you do, you can join the church, be baptized, talk in tongues or whatever suits you. You can do any of that stuff. But it'll not get you to heaven until you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
In verse 18, in verse 19, he says, so then after the Lord spake unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Yeah. I'm glad the Lord works with us. Yeah. Amen. Here's what I want you to notice quickly about the story. And I'm not going to listen. I got you parked out there like sardines. Amen. And if some of you haven't seen for a while, don't worry. When you get out, somebody that's up front, they'll be fast. I'll make them mad. When they get to the door, I'll shake their hand. I'll make them mad. They'll leave and you can get on out of there. Listen, the one thing nobody thought would happen Or I'll give you another title, Why I'm Pulling for the Underdog. Why I'm Pulling for the Underdog. I always like to see, and y'all excuse me, I'm quite not as spiritual as some people, but occasionally I'll tune in to sports, like when there's something on. Amen? When there's two people competing against each other, I like to watch. Amen? And man, I can't help it. I like college football and college basketball and whatever else. I'd like polo if I knew what it was. Amen? I was a disease or something, but I played soccer once, and I got tired from that. Amen? So I wouldn't mess with that anymore. But listen, I like competition. I like to compete in. And I like to see when the underdog pulls off the upset, don't you? I mean, I like to see when the fellow, all the odds are against him and there's no chance in the world. And a lot of people will pull for the underdog, but in their heart, they're not really giving him much chance to pull off the victory. I mean, they might say, yeah, I want to see him do it, but now, do I believe he's going to do it? Not really. But you see, that's kind of what we have here. Nobody plans a victory party for the underdog. I mean, when they make the shirts up, they usually the first run of shirts, the first bunch of shirts, they'll make them for the guy they expect to win. But every once in a while, they have to scrap those and make new shirts because the underdog team surprised and got the victory. But listen, nobody much plans a victory party for the underdog. The possibility that the outcome may not be as supposed is very slim. I mean, generally, whenever, though you might root for the underdog, and though you might want to see him win, generally, you can go ahead and rest assured that your expectations are going to fall short. They might put together a good game, but ultimately, they're going to come up a basket short. They're going to come up a few points short. They might come up a field goal short. They may not win it, but at least they tried hard. Now, that's kind of the way people look at the underdog. And I want you to understand something this morning about Jesus. You may not think of Jesus as being the underdog, but I want you to know that this world thinks of him that way. And listen, even his disciples thought that of him. Even the ones that were closest to him, of all the people, thought that of him. Listen, there were people that he ate with. There were people with whom he walked along the shores of Galilee. There were people that saw his miracles. And there were people that saw him go to the tomb of Lazarus and speak the words after Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And lo and behold, here out of the grave walked this man bound from head to toe in grave clothes, hopping out of the grave. And that's the first bunny. Amen. Amen. That wasn't good. That's bad. Forget that. But listen, here comes Lazarus out of the tomb. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And listen, hey, his sister said when Jesus said, roll the stone away, his sister said, well, no, he stinks. He's been dead 4 days already. There's nothing you can do for him. You can't help him. These were people that knew Jesus. And lo and behold, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And guess what happened? You don't have to guess. We've got a record in the Word of God. Amen. Lazarus came forth. What was Jesus showing? He was letting the people know that he had victory over the grave. He was letting the people know that he had victory over death. Did they believe it? Well, Jesus told his disciples, the ones that were there. He said, listen, he said, I have to die. One of his disciples, Peter, said, oh, no, not you. And the Lord said, get behind me, Satan. He said, you savor not the things that be of God. He said, you savor the things that be of men. You see, Simon Peter and some of the disciples, they kind of wanted Jesus to go ahead and set up a kingdom and take over right then. They didn't understand that he had to die.
That's right.
They didn't want to believe it. But Jesus said, I got to die. He said, don't worry. He said, after 3 days, he said, I'm going to come out of the grave.
Yeah.
And they sat there and they heard him say that. Others heard him say that. But can I tell you this morning that not one person was there that morning to see it happen. Not one. Some of these closest followers, these ladies came and they said, let's go anoint his body for the burial. Let's go anoint his body. Listen, which was a custom of that day to do for the dead. They sure were not coming to find a risen Savior. On the way there, one of them said, who's going to roll the stone away for us? Well, you see, they were great believers, weren't they? I mean, they said, what are we going to do? We're going to get there. There's big stones in the way. What are we going to do? Even when they saw the stone rolled away, they still went in not believing. I want to tell you this morning, really, nobody gave Jesus a chance to get victory over the grave. That song we sang, the first song, he arose a victor over the dark domain. Amen?
Amen.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. That song, victory in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I'm glad we have victory in him. You say, preacher, what kind of victory? Victory over my habits? Well, sure. Hey, listen. Hey, there's not a habit that you've got here that costs you big bucks or causes you problems. There's not a habit you've got that what Jesus Christ can't give you victory over that.
Right.
He didn't just come to give you victory over your habits. Hey, there's not a person here that's got a tongue that criticizes and condemns and talks bad about people. By the way, that's worse than having a bad habit. That is that's a wicked thing.
Yeah.
Just can't control their tongue. There's not a person here that's what got eyes that what you look at things you shouldn't look at, but what Jesus can't give you victory over that temptation.
Amen.
But Jesus didn't just come to give you victory over your tongue and over your eyes and over your habits. Listen, I got good news for you. He come to give you victory over the thing you fear the most and the thing that concerns us the most, and that is this thing called death.
I
venture to say that 90% or more people here have some kind of vitamin at your house. Amen?
Yeah.
If you don't have some kind of vitamin, you probably have got some kind of a health regimen, you know. Or probably, if you don't have any of that, you probably got a doctor that you see occasionally that gives you a checkup. Some of us need a tune-up, amen, or whatever. But you've got somebody because you're concerned about trying to figure out a way just to keep on going. I'm not against you for that. We all have that survival instinct. But I got good news for you this morning. He that believeth in Jesus, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Yeah.
Hey, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Right.
Listen, hey, the very moment I leave this world, the very moment I draw my last breath here, and folks may come by and look there at the casket and look by and say, boy, he sure looks good. And what you'll be saying is, I'm glad his mouth's shut. Amen. Yeah, he's not yelling at us or talking or spitting, slobbering around. And let's throw his hands in the air. Look at him waiting. No, I won't look good. I look awful. But that won't be me. That'll just be a shell of me. Hey, I'll be with my Savior, Jesus. Why? Because I don't have religion this morning.
That's right.
I don't have just some religion that I live out and that I go and worship some church somewhere, get some water sprinkled on me and kiss somebody's toe and pray to some statues. I don't have any kind of religion this morning. I have a Savior.
Amen.
His name is Jesus.
Right.
And though he was the underdog, he purchased victory for me. He overcome the grave. Amen.
That's right.
Listen, nobody gave him a chance. Jesus said he would conquer the grave, but nobody listened. He spoke to his disciples. He said, I will rise again. And they sat there and they looked at him. Okay. But not one recorded in the Bible. Don't you think there'd have been a record of somebody? But not one was there that morning. Don't you think that if they really believed he was going to do it, don't you think they would have went and camped out that night, waiting and watching to see how he was going to do it? I mean, would it be an explosion? Would he explode out of there? How would he do it? But not one was there to watch. Instead, they were home pouting, sad, broken, discouraged. Simon Peter had already gone fishing. He said, well, fellas, he said, I got a family to feed. I don't fault him for that. Amen. What I fault him for is that he didn't believe that Jesus said what he was going to say. Amen. Hey, unless you and I believe, we'll be like Peter too. We'll go fishing if you got any goodness about us. Amen. He was just trying to figure out how to feed the mouths. Listen, the Old Testament prophets in the Bible, they said that Jesus would come up. The Bible said in the Old Testament prophet said that the Lord would not suffer his seed to see corruption.
Right.
Said he wouldn't stay dead in Psalm 22. Said it would only be a little while that he would raise up from the dead. But they didn't believe it. No one gave him a chance. Jesus said it would be a 3-day duel. And after 3 days, he would overcome death. He didn't say he would avoid it. He said he would die in our place, and he would personally die for us. Amen?
Yeah.
They all watched him die, but no one watched to see if he would rise. They all stood there, and they all watched as they drove the nails into his hand. Listen to me this morning. They watched as they put the crown of thorns on his head, and the disciples and the followers stood and they watched Jesus breathe his last breath and give up the ghost. And they probably paused for a minute and watched to see if anything would happen. Some of them lingered and watched the soldiers come and check. Their custom was to break the legs so that they would suffocate.
Yep.
But when they came to Jesus, he's already gone. They marveled that he died so soon. He didn't even fight death. He didn't even try to hang on and wait for God to get him off the cross. He didn't come to get off the cross. Amen. He was already in torment, suffered, bear my penalty for my sin. He had a job to do. Amen. You know, I'm glad this morning that I don't have to go to hell.
Amen.
Say, preacher, I don't believe in hell. That's all right for now, but when you're there, it won't help any. Amen. Because hell is a real place. The Bible says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hey, why is it a good thing that Tony mentioned 8 years ago today he got saved? Hey, listen, they've prayed for him a lot longer and prayed for him for years and prayed, and what a great day it was. And that day he got saved, and the next day he went down, saw my dad, said, hey, give him a big hug, and said, listen, I wanted you to know, but I got saved yesterday. Boy, listen, Dad was excited about it. It wasn't just about less than a month later that Dad was there. Amen. He was there with the Lord. But he was glad to hear that news before he died. Amen. Now listen, hey, hell is a real place.
Yes, it is.
They watched Jesus there, and they watched as they came, and they took him down. And some of those disciples, after a while, they stood, and they, no doubt, some of them said, "Well, I'm feeling a little hungry. Let's go on. Nothing's going to happen here." And they went home dejected and sad. And some of them were afraid. They stayed in this place there, and they couldn't sleep. Even after Jesus rose from the dead, he walked with two of them on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't even know it was him. He was walking along kind of cheerful, and they said, well, haven't you heard the news? They said, haven't you heard that Jesus is dead? They hadn't heard the news yet, amen? Listen, they all watched. They all lingered. But when it came time for him to get up, nobody, not one person there to see that we know of, if it would happen. Listen to me this morning. We know how that story ended. He arose. Amen?
Amen.
And he was seen of many witnesses. He was seen of his disciples. And they watched as he went back to heaven. He said, the angel said, why stand you here gazing? He said, this same Jesus you've seen go. He said, he'll come again in like manner. I believe that. Amen.
Amen.
I believe he's coming again. But I want to tell you something this morning. Listen. Unbelievably, he's still the underdog today. You know, there's Christians that don't even believe he's coming again. I mean, there's Christians that have got to the place where that they're confused. And they say, well, I've heard it all my life, and I haven't seen it, and I wonder, is he really coming? I mean, is it really going to happen? Have we been deceived? And listen, there's a whole host of people in this world that doubt that Jesus is coming.
That's right.
Oh, you go to work tomorrow, and you stand up there and you tell everybody, say, hey, I just want everybody to know I'm a Christian. I went to church yesterday. I want all y'all to know that someday the trumpet's going to sound, someday Jesus is coming back again, and I'm going up to be with him forever.
Amen.
And I guarantee you, hey, listen, depending on where you work, they may have somebody in to bring you in for counseling in a half hour or so. They'll be saying, you're one of those radical nuts. I mean, listen, if you talk like that in this world today, and they'll have you sitting in front of the shrink. And if any of y'all are a shrink, don't, I'm not belittling you. I love you, amen. I need one myself sometimes. But listen, the world doesn't believe that Jesus is coming by. They don't believe that he's coming to set up a kingdom on this earth. They really think that we're crazy for talk like that. People in this world today are more prone to believe in reincarnation than they are to believe that Jesus Christ is coming to rule and reign in Jerusalem someday. You know, there are Christian people The Bible says, sorrow not as them that have no hope. I've seen Christian people all my life come down to the end. When someone dies, they lose their confidence. They lose their hope. I heard someone just the other day mention about a preacher that lost a loved one. And after they lost that loved one, they were so discouraged, they quit preaching. After a while, quit going to church. They just gave up. How in the world can we be like that, friend? Listen, how in the world can we profess faith in Jesus Christ and not believe that our loved ones that have gone on, they're with Jesus, and we're going to see Him again someday?
Right.
Someone said, when you hear that I'm dead, don't believe it. I'll be more alive then than ever.
Amen.
Listen, when I'm dead and gone, I'll be more alive then than ever. Amen?
Yeah.
Brother, listen, I believe that. One day I was in church, and we were having testimonies, and I heard my dad stand up, and he said, you know, he said, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. He said, I wouldn't mind if the Lord come back. He said, I wouldn't mind if the Lord took me home tomorrow. He said, I wouldn't mind. I've heard people say that, but the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, now, he really believes that. He wasn't in debt to anybody. He didn't have a whole lot of enemies. He had a wife that loved him. He had a good family, but he believed there was something better waiting for him on the other side of the grave. He wasn't afraid to close his eyes here and wake up over there and behold the face of his Savior Jesus. He believed that heaven was real. Amen. Well, we need to believe that.
Yeah.
We're so discouraged. I mean, we're running around worrying about what the Democrats and Republicans are going to do next. Who cares? Let them have it, friend.
Right.
And my home is in heaven. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels beckon me, the song said. And I just can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Amen.
Amen. Some of us are too comfortable in this world. I'll tell you, listen, Jesus is the underdog down here. But if you could go to heaven, there's not one person up there that would doubt Him. They all know He's going to do what He said He would do. Amen?
Yep.
But we have a more sure word of prophecy. This book right here.
Well,
say, preacher, why do people doubt Him? Why is Jesus the underdog to some people today? I'll tell you why. Faith cometh by hearing.
Amen.
And hearing by the Word of God.
That's it.
Not very many people hear the Word of God.
That's it.
They're more in tune with what the world has to say and what the news has to say and what so-and-so wrote a book. I really don't have time to read so-and-so's book. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad they wrote it, but I want to read the book. Amen. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Right.
You see, death still intimidates people. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, and verse number 23 says, but every man in his own order of Christ, the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ in His coming. Verse 24 says, then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Verse 25 says, for He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Amen?
Amen?
People say, the only thing you can be sure of is death and taxes. You know, I'm not so sure about that. Amen?
Amen.
I'd like to forget about the taxes part. But the death part, I'm not so sure about that. Amen? I really don't think we'll ever see death. The process of dying is not fun. No one enjoys that. No one enjoys cancer and sickness and pain. But I remember hearing the testimony of an old preacher named Curtis Hudson.
Yeah.
Curtis Hudson was stricken with cancer at 58 years of age. He didn't like the news that came to him. The doctor instantly ordered a bone scan. When they checked it, his body was full of cancer.
Yeah.
It began to eat up his bones. And 61 years of age, this 245-pound preacher lived 2 or 3 years, cancer in his body, emaciated, down to nothing. When he was dying in his deathbed, he had all of his family, and he went one by one to all of his family. And by the way, if you have family that knows the Lord, here's the chief concern of your family member. He went to every one of his family members and said, do you believe? Do you know for sure you're saved? He went through the plan of salvation with every one of them. He wanted to hear it one more time for him, to know that he was going to see him again. As he was dying, laying in his bed, his teeth now gone, his body crippled, not able to rise up from the bed, his dying words were, thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you, Lord, for life.
Amen.
He wasn't worried about dying. He knew that in just a little while he would breathe his last breath. And he would say goodbye to this body of death. The Apostle Paul said, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" So I thank the Lord Jesus. The Bible said here in 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Ask your liberal politicians if they believe that.
Yeah.
Ask a good many of your professed conservative politicians, do you believe that?
Right. Yeah.
I don't believe it. See, how do you know? Because I see how they live. Amen?
Yeah.
"For this corruptible must put on..." Hey, if they believed it, they wouldn't be trying to get the Bible out of schools.
That's right.
They'd have wheelbarrows full of them pushing them in there. Amen?
Right.
If they believed it. I'm trying not to preach. It's Easter Sunday. Amen?
That's all right.
Listen, amen. Hey, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin, is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I went one time out to the grave where my dad's body was buried. I stood and I watched as they lowered his body into the ground and as they put the dirt over it. I went back a few months later on. There was no one there. It was early in the morning. The sun had just come up. And I knelt down by the grave and I read those verses to my dad. I know he's already gone, but someday that body's coming up.
Amen.
He's alive.
Yeah.
I'll see him again someday.
Amen.
Because I serve a Savior that said, "The odds may be against me, but don't put your money on the odds."
That's right.
You see, death still intimidates. See, right now we're the underdogs. The odds are getting slimmer each and every day. Preacher, how do you know about all that? I asked Brother J.R. Don't worry, but I asked him about these odds and odd makers. If y'all went to this church very long, you'd know full well why the preacher knows so much about odds. Amen. You go here very long, you can get to know this crew. Amen. Listen, the odds makers, they're against him. I mean, the spread's getting further and further every day. Every day passes, the less this world expects Jesus to say, do what he said he would do. The Bible is almost forgotten. The saints of God are laughed at and ridiculed. There's very few old-time Christians that shout and praise God like they used to. Most churches don't even talk much about it anymore. They're trying to figure out how to have a better tomorrow instead of how to have a great eternity.
Yeah.
I want you to know this. Don't gamble. It ain't good. You don't do it. But if you do, bet against the odds.
Right.
You see, Jesus got up. Nobody was there to see it, but he got up. He's coming back.
Praise the Lord.
And listen, we're going up. The dead in Christ shall rise first, the Bible says. And they that are alive and remain shall meet them in the air.
Amen.
We shall be changed, the Bible says.
Yeah.
And I'll have a new body. A glorified body.
Yeah, amen.
Like unto his. I want you to know this morning that we as Christians, we may feel like we're the underdog. But that's only down here, because in heaven they know who the winner is.
Right.
All heaven awaits Jesus to come again. Listen, some of you got loved ones, you miss them. They died. You wish they'd come back. But I want you to know they're looking on. They're in heaven. Amen. They're more alive now than what they were the last time you spoke to them and held their hand, and there was still warmth in their hand from the blood coursing through their veins. What you saw in that casket is not what's real. Amen. They're alive.
Amen.
And someday we're going to see them.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I just want you to know this morning that Jesus is the victor. he overcome the grave.
Glory,
the Heavenly Father, nobody gave him a chance, but Jesus won the victory.
Yes.
Someday he'll destroy the enemy. But until then, God, let us live as victors and not be subject to this dark domain. But God, let us leave with a song in our heart, joy in our step. And let us draw our last breath praising God and shouting amen and glory to God.
Yes.
Let us not be weary by this world, but let us realize we have a better world waiting.
Yes.
We have a Savior, and someday we'll meet Him in the air.
Thank you.
God help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me?